You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. Tonight at 6 p.m. will be My Island Youth at Merritt Assembly of God, the Fellowship Hall, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And that meeting is available for everybody from 12 to 18. You've got some young people. Encourage them now to fall in love with Jesus. Life goes so much better when you fall in love with Jesus to such a degree. You know, a lot of times couples talk about they were high school sweethearts, and, you know, I've told you I've got some friends last year, two of them. There were two couples. Each couple had one person that passed away, but both of those couples had been married for over 70 years. And I believe that they had been high school sweethearts, and you know, people say, oh man, that's great. You know, that there were high school sweethearts and they stayed in love all the way till, you know, they were promoted into the presence of Jesus. And I want you to know that there's an even greater love than that. And that is that you fall in love with Jesus as early as possible. And even though there's a lot of imperfect people around and a lot of bad things that happen, you fall in love with him and say, you know, I haven't found a problem with God. And so I'm just going to continue to pursue this love relationship with him all of my days. We tried to spare our children some of the heartbreak that some of their other friends and everything experienced. And I will tell you, you fall in love with Jesus and nurture that relationship every day, it will do a world of good for young people's situation. So that's tonight, 6 p.m. Also want to say thank you today to the Treasure Your Landscape, Dan, Treasure, Heaven, and their team. Do a great, great job. A growing business, a family-based business. They're licensed and insured. They're based right here in Merritt Island. They've got over two decades of landscaping experience, and they travel all throughout Brevard County. They are great at their job. They have a full array of products. They can do paver installation, artificial turf. They can do landscaping services, putting greens, installing and managing drains and downspouts, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They can do everything from design to plant to maintain. If you've got ideas, they can make it a reality. They want to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. Great, great people. Love Jesus. Love the Refresh Radio program, and we are thankful for them. You can also see some of the products they have available at Space Coast Nursery, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. They are open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Phone number there is 321-452-5565. That could be a great resource for you if you're looking to, you know, find out what you could plant, when you should plant it. Springtime is good to plant a number of things. They know what will grow in what environment. They know the amount of sun, the amount of water, all of that sort of stuff. They are really, really good at what they do. Maybe a great resource for you if you're looking to, you know, improve your outdoor area. verse number 20 of 1 John chapter 4, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So there are people who make declarations, I love God. But at the same time, they may make statements that they hate people. Or they may behave in such a way that their behavior is not demonstrating that they love God. Loving God will cause us to know that we don't have to avenge ourselves. There's a verse. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. It's in Leviticus 19:18. It says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So if we love God, we don't have to worry about getting vengeance on our own. The New Testament says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It's not up to me. I just get to love God, and because of that, God opens our spiritual ears to hear what he is saying, so that, like Jesus said, the words that I say are the words that I hear my Father saying. He said, the things that I do are the things that I see my Father doing. So if we love God, we're going to realize that God is dynamic in Brevard County in 2026. He's still speaking. He's still doing. He's still saving. He's still healing. He is still bringing about reconciliation. He's still the miracle worker. You know, we talked on yesterday's program and in the program before about there's no fear in love. When Saul was persecuting the church, the saints were terrified of him, to the point that when the Lord spoke to Ananias, hey, go and minister to him, Ananias saying, God, I maybe you didn't get the memo about all of the things that he has done. And God said, I know who he is, and I know what he's going through. And I, by the way, I told him you were coming. To the point that Ananias said, brother Saul. Barnabas ended up being an advocate for Paul. He helped to bridge the initial fear mechanism that was in place. People were like, don't know if we can trust him. And then all of a sudden, I say all of a sudden, you need to understand, there was a prolonged break in Paul's ministry from the time he got converted until the time that Barnabas got him to bring him to Antioch. And I would imagine that season, Paul probably demonstrated a lot of faithfulness. And he also demonstrated a boldness and a love for the lost that became impossible for the world or for the church to deny. And he became one of the most prolific authors of books in the Bible. And so John here writes, loving God and hating your brother, those two things are incompatible. And so if there's someone that you hate, and let me describe that word for you. It's defined as having a strong dislike or an aversion towards someone that results in separation between the one who hates and the thing being hated. So I know some people who've had some allergic reactions to food. And because of their allergic reactions to food, they make sure that there is distance between, because that can actually prove fatal. So there's a hard line there. Okay. Now there are things that we are supposed to hate because God hates them. And so we are supposed to hate evil, but Paul writes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. And so it's not, people are being victimized by evil. Evil is painful. Evil ruins lives. Evil ruins health. Evil ruins finances. It ruins relationships. And that's why God hates evil. But he came and died on the cross and was raised again on the third day because he loves people. So we don't hate people. It's not the way believers are supposed to behave. So with Paul, we need to recognize that sometimes the people who are the most aggressive persecutors of the church are actually fighting against Jesus coming to set them free from the hate that they have in their heart. Paul was persecuting the church thinking he was doing God a service. He was spiritually deceived, even though he was very zealous for God. So we don't want to see that happen. So there are some religious groups that are in existence, and they go around and they tell people, hey, God hates you. I want you to know that's not true. He hates that you are estranged from him. He hates the misery and the pain and the damage that is being done in your life because of sin. And he wants to set you free because he loves you and he loves me. So our job is not to hate. And by the way, I'll also throw this word out there. It's his brother. That means there's a family unit that is going on there. So one of the things that in exiting Egypt, and we talked about it some, is that can be sibling rivalries that go on between people. And that's a bit of a disheartening statement, because not all of the time, but a lot of the time, our siblings are the longest standing relationships that we will have in our life. You say, well I would think it would be the parents. Well, that happens some case if a sibling dies early, or parents live exceptionally long. But generally, the sibling relationships are very, very precious. They're meant to be a gift to us, where we share the same Father and we're joint heirs with Jesus. So as soon as Cain and Abel grew up, there was a rivalry between them. One lived in faith, one did not make an offering by faith. And God said, to Cain, he said, look, sin is lurking at your door. if you do right, you will be accepted. If you don't, it's there and it wants to devour you. And unfortunately for Cain and for Abel, Cain chose hate because his brother was accepted and he was rejected. And it resulted in Abel being murdered. The family unit is the first, one of the first creations of God in human dynamics. He created individuals, then he created the family. And the family of God, we're not supposed to be in sibling rivalry. And so I'm not in competition with the churches here in Brevard County. I'm in competition with the kingdom of darkness. So I know a lot of times, some of the things I've heard about how churches build their church at the expense of other churches, that can be disheartening. But I like to have the Ezekiel 37 mindset, where at the beginning is the valley of dry bones. At the end of Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel is told to pick up two sticks, one label it Judah, the other label it Ephraim, and that even though they are two distinct sticks, that in Ezekiel's hand, they become one as if they were one in God's hand. And that meant that it would operate in unity, even though they were distinct. And so we've never been afraid to join other congregations that were hosting a community event that we could get behind. And sometimes we've even had people who came, and like a few years ago, we did our Redemptive Compassion. I think there were about five or six different churches that had representatives that came and were part of that. So we're not supposed to be hating people inside the body of Christ. We're supposed to be loving them. Our actions should speak that we are loving them, and loving them enough to speak the truth in love. So, but it says here that when a person says, "I love God," and hates his brother, it says he is a liar. The Bible talks about those who are being deceived and those who are deceivers. They're deceivers and being deceived. Those two things can go hand in hand. So one of the things that I noticed here over the last, you know, several years is that in the political environment, that when a person loses an election, they are especially susceptible to a deceptive message, to where they are being deceived. And because they're partaking of deceit while they're feasting on it, they in turn become deceivers. And I've seen where that was true, and then all of a sudden the equation flipped, and then the people who weren't deceived with the first one, all of a sudden they were being deceived the second time. That's tragic. One of the things that I like to tell our congregation is check your sources. Because in the last days, there will be deceiving spirits. And it's not just outside the church, it is inside the church. So, I think it was last year, I think it was 2025, might've been 2024. I heard of a lawyer who was, writing a legal, appeal or something like that. He was using AI, and the artificial intelligence had just manufactured cases, and he was quoting it, not realizing that he was being deceived, or maybe he was, I don't remember. But anyway, that was very embarrassing. He didn't take the secondary step to make sure that the information that he had was actually true. So you and I, we need to conduct ourselves in such a way that we are not only proclaiming the truth, but we are living a life consistent with the truth. People are looking for a demonstration of the love of God. And they do not like hypocrisy at all. They do not like a verbal claim that is not substantiated with the evidence of a visible. Now, I want you to know something. This is not me calling that person a liar. This is not even John calling the person a liar. This is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, calling the person who says he loves God and hates his brother, he's calling him a liar. Lying is an alien language in the kingdom of God. It is the native tongue of the kingdom of darkness. So let's be messengers of truth, and let's be people who live in truth. So he goes on and he clarifies, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So, let me find myself here on my notes here, trying to live like that, where we say we love God and we hate our brother. That is a lie. It says here, loving what is unseen and not loving what is seen are inconsistent. They're incompatible. I have my little note sheets here to help me to remember where I'm supposed to be. So loving what is unseen and not loving what is seen are inconsistent. Jesus looked at his covenant people and the fact that they had missed their day of visitation, had missed the opportunity for him to gather them in as a protective mother hen would. And he loved them. It was disappointing that people loved darkness more than they loved light. And the person that they were cheering on Sunday, they would crucify on Friday. And yet those people would say that they loved God. What John says here is the love that we have for God should translate. It should be evident by how we love one another. You cannot love that which you cannot see while you are not loving the things that you do see. There's a passage in Proverbs that says, he who chases a fantasy lacks judgment. I'm not saying that God is a fantasy. God is very real. God is the most real thing in the universe. He's the most real person in the universe. And we don't see him yet, but because of the transforming work he's done in our life, it should make a difference in how we treat those around us. So I've known some people who could go to church, come out of the church, and not be kind, loving people. I've known some kind, loving people, but they didn't have a love for God in their heart. So it's not saying that everything is okay as long as you're loving people, and it's not saying that it is okay that you love God if you're not loving people. What it is saying is, if we love God, it is going to be clearly seen in how we treat the people around us. Saying that we love God and hate people, those two things are inconsistent. And we're not only deceiving others, we're deceiving ourselves. We have an opportunity to repent and for God to change us, and lying will try and deprive you of the breakthrough and transformative interaction that God wants to have in us. It goes on here, and it says, verse number 21, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." There are a lot of people who don't realize that there are many commandments, there are mandates, there are things that are said in the New Testament that are imperative statements. They are not optional. They are mandatory. And this is one of those commandments. And it's a commandment not from a superior officer. It's not a commandment from another person. It's a commandment from God. And that is this: if you love God, you must love his brother also. It is something that is mandatory. One of the things I'd challenge you to do is do a search of the word must and see the things that God tells us. If God tells us it's a commandment, you know, there are people who in 2026 they will tell you, "I love God, therefore I don't have to do anything. God's grace is, I just get to live however I want to live and do whatever I want to do." And I will tell you that a lot of people who live like that end up living a lifestyle that damages other people. There's a deception that is gone on there. I'm not denying the power of grace. I'm just saying that true grace changes us to where we love and are a blessing to the people around us, not doing them harm. This grace that John talks about says it causes us to realize we have a commandment that while we are here on this earth, we will love our brother. It is not optional. It is a mandate from the throne room of heaven. God loved us. We love him. And because of that dynamic, we have the responsibility to show his love to those around us. Make sure that you tell the people in your life that you love them. It'll really help their day. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."